Take your Bible, if you would, please. John chapter number 10 and verse number 10 tonight. Boy, hadn't the service been good. I've enjoyed that. Enjoyed all four of those songs. Enjoyed the choir tonight. Thank God for the good presence of the Lord. Boy, he's good to us, isn't he? Amen. I tell you what, we could just take out about 20 minutes right now and shout a while for the goodness of God. We couldn't start a list and begin to say how good God's been to us. You pray for me tonight. I about stripped a gear up in Tennessee this week. We had 500 teenagers we were preaching to, and tremendous meeting in Tennessee. Had about 700 under Brother Ralph's tent a night. 500 of those were teenagers. A lot of them are here tonight, and I'll have 30 of them from my church coming tomorrow night. And you'll notice around this building, I noticed in the choir a while ago, 90% of the people who had their hands in the air were teenagers. Don't look at the floor now. I'm not praying. I'm preaching, all right? And it's good to raise a generation that knows about old-time religion. But we need to show them that we still know about old-time religion as well. And we need to get excited about the God that saved us. On the way home from that meeting the other day, I had vans stopping at rest areas. Kids getting saved out in the grass on the way home. Several churches broke out in revival yesterday. God just moved. Myself, Brother Joe, Brother Ralph, Brother Greg Lentz. We just had a great, great time this week preaching those kids and what God's doing. And I believe God stirred a generation across America that wants something different than what the world's got to offer. And I'm glad we know what that is, aren't you? John chapter 10, verse number 10. Would you stand with me tonight, please, as we read the Word of God. John chapter 10 tonight. Thank you again for the opportunity to be here tonight at the High Point Camp Meeting. I do appreciate the invitation. I know you could have got a lot of better preachers, and I'm so thankful that you allowed me to come. I hope Brother John Smith is able to get here Monday and Tuesday night. Brother John Smith is one of the greatest preachers in this country. You will enjoy Brother John. You pray for him physically. And then Sister Lois Gale, as she comes, if that woman sings It's Still the Blood, some of y'all allow to run home. You'll like it. And so I know the meeting will be great. Brother Randy Hobbs is a dear friend. The first church I pastored, I was about 3, 4, 5 miles from him. And he's a great preacher, great camp meeting preacher. So you've got good preacher lined up this week. If you can just bear with it this week, you'll be all right. John chapter 10 and verse number 10, please. The Bible says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." I want tonight to pull a phrase out of this verse. And some time ago, sitting in my office, God began to deal with my heart about this thought. And I want tonight, by the help of God, to look at the phrase that says, "I am come that they might have life." I want to preach tonight on this thought. He came to me. He came to me. If it ever dawned on you that God came to you, you could not go to where He was. You did not have access to Him. But He stopped by in your world where you were. God came to you. I didn't say Muhammad came to you. I didn't say that Joseph Smith came to you. I didn't say that Buddha came to you. But I said the God that put the stars in the sky, the God that started the rotation of the planets. Matter of fact, I feel God right there, friend. The God that started it all around one day stopped by where you were. Maybe it's your little country church, or maybe down by the creek, or kneeling by the bed, or wherever it was, and God stopped by where you were. Well, if that ever dawned on you, you'd ought to go, whoop! Hallelujah. Just a thought that the God of heaven came to me. Time out. Glory to God. I say hallelujah. You think about it, friend. The very fact that he knew everything about you. The very fact that he knew every thought you ever had. The very fact that he knew every sin you've ever committed. And he still loved you enough that he came back where you were. Our Father, we're indeed thankful tonight for the privilege to be at this camp meeting. Thank you, God, for the different men of God that are here and many churches I've had the privilege to be in. But Lord, there's no doubt we need revival in our day. But Lord, there's also no doubt that we need camp meetings like this. God, I know your people go through many things in their lives. And God, we know, Father, that some days it seems like the sun may not come up again. And Lord, it's just good to pull away from our busy lives and to gather together under the tabernacle and worship the God and the King of glory. Father, I pray tonight you'd help me to brag on Jesus. And God, I pray tonight when it's all said and done, let us realize that God, you are God. And besides you, there is none other. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. I was reminded of this message just about a week and a half ago. I was in my office in States when a man of our church called and said, Pastor, I want you, if you would please, to talk to a young man that needs some help. He said he's a heroin addict and said he's 19 years old and his life's a mess and would you talk to him? I said, sure, and he brought him by the office. When he came by and he walked in and I began to talk to him, I went through everything I knew biblically to say to that heroin addict. I went through everything that I knew to say to him in the Bible, and I went through the plan of salvation, and I went through all that I knew that I needed to go through mechanically to tell him what he needed to know. But as our brother said and started off the meeting, without God showing up, it's all hopeless anyway. And I got through all of that and shared with him and dealt with all of that. And after I got done and finished with him, I really felt like I could have said to him, son, would you like to ask the Lord to save you? And there's no doubt, you know, his life's a mess. He's a heroin addict. He's ruined. He needs some help. He would have about done anything that I wanted him to do. And I'm sure if I'd have said that, he'd have been happy to kneel down. And for whatever it's worth, he'd have said something, hoping he could get some help. But instead of that, the Holy Ghost would not let me do that. The Spirit of God spoke to my heart, sitting in that chair, and said, I want you to take that young man to the altar, and I want you to get him on the altar, and I want you to put your hand on him, and I want you to pray for him. So I told that young man, his name's Josh, 19 years old heroin addict. I said, Josh, let's go down to the altar. And I said, if you don't mind, he never met me in his life. I said, I just want to pray with you at the altar and pray that God would help you. I didn't ask him that he wanted to get saved. I didn't ask him that he wanted to call on God. I told him the story, but I thought it's time to pray. He'd never been in church, wasn't a part, didn't know much about it, didn't know much about old time religion, didn't know much about prayer, didn't know much about the blood of Christ, to be honest with you, knew very little about the Bible. He really didn't know much about anything, but he went down and he knelt down with me at that altar, and we began to pray. Amen. I put my hand on that young man. I began to pray. I could feel the power of Satan and satanic forces fighting against me as not wanting that kid to come off of heroin, and we began to pray. Finally, I put my hand on his back, and I started saying these words, God, I plead the blood. God, I plead the blood. God, I plead the blood. That's all I knew to say, and I felt like the more I said that, by the way, if you read the Bible in the book of Revelation, you'll find out that we can overcome him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? And I began to plead the blood over that young man. Hey, just about 10, 15 minutes into praying over him, all of a sudden I heard that young man say something that blessed my heart. I heard that young man, he never prayed, he didn't know about God, didn't know about church. That young man said something like this. He said, God, if you could help somebody, hallelujah, if you could help somebody like me, he said, God, my life's a mess. He said, God, I'm a dope head. God, I'm headed down and I need some help. Can you help somebody like me? Then that 19-year-old boy cried out and said, God, save me. And when he did that, honey, business picked up around that place. Felt like God swept through. And that 19-year-old young man got delivered from heroin right there on that altar. Boy, he asked me something that blessed my heart. He said, "Preacher, I'm amazed that God would love somebody like me." That's what... Hallelujah. That's when I stopped him right there, and here's what I said. I said, "Son, it ain't just amazing that God would love somebody like you. I said, it's amazing that God would love somebody like me too. Matter of fact, if we'd all take that mask off and we'd all get out of our car and we'd all walk up under this tabernacle and realize we all ought to be in hell, we all ought to be burning in the charred walls of the damned. It's a privilege to be at camp meeting. It's a privilege to serve God. It's a privilege to worship the King of Glory." I wish Baptists would get over this thing of thinking we've done arrived. And I wish we'd get to this place of just being thankful that God would save an old sinner like us. I wish we'd get to the place of that, just being thankful that God would change our lives. I began to think about three places in the Bible where God came to some people. Three places in the Word of God where God came. And if God had not came, then things would have never been the same. I'm not going to get you to turn to the first one because it's elementary. You know of it. And we'll move a little bit and I'll go a little bit different on the second one. But the first place I noticed that God came was the day when our Savior died on the cross. Boy, I think about that day when Jesus walked down that Via Dolorosa. I think about when they put on his back that wooden beam and he walked up a hill called Calvary. I think about it as the beam dropped inside of that hole and they put the Son of God there between two thieves and he died for your sin and mine, a death of suffocation as he would grasp a breath. And I think about what happened, and then the Bible talks about how that the earth began to shake, and when the earth began to shake and creation was in convulsions and all that was going on as the Son of God died over in the temple, something was taking place. I'm sure most of you know it, it's elementary. But inside of that temple, there was a veil. That veil separated what was known as a holy place from the Holy of Holies. It was a thick veil placed there. The only one to go behind that veil was the great high priest. That priesthood, that Aaronic priesthood that would walk in behind the veil would be the only one that would go behind it. The people could not even come into the holy place. They were out in the outer courts and the inner courts. But right there in the holy place, those priests, and then the Holy of Holies, as the great high priest would go behind that veil. But when Jesus died on Calvary, something took place, hallelujah, at the temple. The Bible said the veil was rent in twain, amen. But God don't stop there. God wants you to know how it was torn. It was not torn from the bottom to the top. Man has never been able to get to God. Man has never been righteous enough to get to God. But that veil was torn from the top to the bottom. You say, what is it saying, Brother Hayslap? I'll tell you what it's saying, friend. It's saying that when I, hallelujah, I wish somebody help me a little bit. When I could not go to where he was, he came to me. One day the King of Heaven ripped off the robes of righteousness, threw them down on the sideline when nobody else could go and nobody else could die. He said, Father, I'll go. And he stepped out of eternity down in a little manger in Bethlehem, grew to an age of 33 and a half years of age, walked up a hill called Calvary, died for your sin and mine so that we could go to heaven and don't have to go to hell. I couldn't go to him, but I'm glad tonight he came to me. Hallelujah. Oh, listen, friend, I couldn't go. where he was, I'd have never walked by the walls of Jasper. I'd have never sat down by the river of life. I'd have never walked by the gates or walked on the streets of gold. I could not go. There's no way. But friend, he came to me. I said, he came to me. I said, he came to me. Hey, thank God tonight Jesus came to where I was. He came to me, first of all, let me say, in the temple. In the temple. Back in that back room, Aaron's rod that budded, the commandments of God, those cherubim as they leaned over the Holy of Holies, a very place that no normal man had ever walked. Amen. Where a high priest could mess up and he'd be drug out. Right. There was no seat behind the veil. That high priest was never done. But when Jesus finished it all, the Bible said he took his own blood, not the blood of bulls, not the blood of goats, but his own blood. And he presented that blood on the mercy seat in heaven. And the Bible said he sat down. Amen. You know what that tells me? That tells me God looked over at his son and said, the blood's enough. Amen. I'm glad there'll never be another bull or another goat. And I'm glad there'll never be another Calvary. I'm glad he came to me tonight. In the temple, he came to me. Take your Bible, please, tonight. Go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter number 14. Verse number 24 tonight. Matthew 14 and verse number 24. The Bible says in verse number 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Everybody look at me just a moment. The very thing that they were afraid of, Jesus was walking on. The very thing they were nervous about, Jesus was walking on. I've been out in the ocean and seen when the waves get rough and violent. I've literally been on a little boat and seen when waves seem to be 8 and 9 foot above my head. And I'm telling you, I've never seen anything in my life that's as scary as looking at that when you can't see the land in that boat. It's going up and down. And those disciples were afraid. And those disciples were scared. And they're thinking, man, we're going to die right here. And then off in the distance, somebody's walking, not in the water, not on a boat, but he's walking on the very water, on the very storm that they are afraid of. And he's walking up to them. I think while he's walking across that water, maybe one shark will look over at the other shark and say, that's him. Maybe one fish will look up at the other fish and say, that's him. Hey, maybe one wave as it begins to crest and the spray falls off the wave. Maybe one wave will lean over to another one and say, shh, that's him. Amen. Hey, he walks across that vessel. What are you trying to say, Brother Haysup? Not only did he come to me in the temple, but I'm glad he come to me in the tempest. I'm glad in storms in my life, when my mama couldn't get me out of it and my daddy couldn't get me through it and the preacher didn't even have the right words and nobody in my church knew how to help, I'm glad right in the middle of it all, Jesus come walking in where I was and he helped me and delivered me by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The very things I've been afraid of, Jesus walked through the middle of. The very things that I thought would take me down, Jesus walked through the middle of. Sometimes I go in the storm. Sometimes I might have to go around the storm. But I'm telling you, friend, there ain't never been a tempest. There ain't never been a storm that Jesus could not get you through. He is God of glory. And I want you to listen tonight. Understand, hallelujah, help yourself, sister. Understand what I'm getting ready to say, friend. Get a hold of this tonight. There's some of you walked underneath this tabernacle and you're facing the worst storm of your life. There's some of you, boy, the thunder is crashing and the lightning's flashing. And boy, you've never seen the wind up as high. And you're thinking, Brother Hazel, man, I just don't know. It seems like this is the worst storm I've ever faced. Honey, just look off in the horizon. You'll see somebody walking across the water. And by the way, he's ahead in your way. I'm glad God's an ever-present help in the time of trouble. Hallelujah. I'm glad I have a God tonight. Didn't just save me and put me on a... Hallelujah, I feel God right here, son. He didn't just save me and put me on a limb somewhere and tell me to hang on. I'm glad he walks with me and talks with me. I'm glad he's there every step of the way. Lester Roloff used to say, somewhere standing in the shadows, you'll find God. Hey, he may not be always visible, and you might not even know he's there, but if he keeps his eye on the sparrow, and he knows the hairs of your head, somebody help me a little bit, and he knows the hair on your head is numbered, I'm telling you, how much more must he love the blood washed, the redeemed of the Lord? How much more he must love us? And I feel that's exactly right. Help yourself, glory to God. When I filled in for Brother Teague a couple years ago in this camp meeting, as he battled cancer, and bless his heart, left this world, but he left it a faithful soldier. Yeah. He left it a good man.
Amen.
He left it a man of character. Brother Teague went home to be with Jesus. I shared the story when my dad died. And how that God, many of you that I preach in your churches, you know I have a message I preach on lessons learned standing by the Red Sea. And in my time in my life as I stood there and the Red Sea was in front of me and the mountains of Pharaoh's army was behind me and the mountains to the side of me and there was nowhere for me to go and I felt like I was going down for the last time and I didn't know what to do as my little daddy lay there dying. I'm glad God didn't leave me by myself. I'm glad God didn't leave me alone. Hey, I'm going to tell you what, friend. I love being saved. If all God ever did for me was save me, that's more than I deserve. I'm glad tonight I'm saved. But guess what? He loadeth us daily with benefits. He helps us every day. I mean, God is good all the time. He helps us every day. God's not going to let us down. God's going to be there. You can count on Him.
Amen, Father. Amen. Hallelujah.
He came to me
in
the temple. I couldn't go to where he was, but he came to me in the temple. He came to me in the tempest. I couldn't go where he was, but he came to me. I grew up in the country, and I like this one. Amen. I grew up on a chicken farm. I like this one, huh?
Amen.
We don't sing around our church, are you washed in the blood? We sing, are you washed in the blood? John chapter number 11. Huh? Hey, honey, I'm glad there's a getting up day. John chapter number 11. He came to me in the temple. Matthew 14, he came to me in the tempest. But look at John 11, please. I like this now. Glory to God. Y'all remember an old boy got sick, don't you? Had two sisters, and they loved Jesus. The Bible said, these things said he, and after that, verse 11, he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Now, wait a minute, Brother Hayslip, why did Jesus wait so long before he went? You've heard the song said he was 4 days late. God ain't never been late. God's always on time. Let me give a little evidence of that. I think about the substitutionary death of our Savior pictured in the Old Testament, chapter 22, the book of Genesis. It's a story of Abraham and Isaac. And you remember that Abraham and Isaac are headed up one side of a mountain.
and they're going up there, and Abraham's going to sacrifice that boy to God, and he's going up there to do what God said to. And while old Abraham and Isaac's going up one side, Abraham loved that boy. Abraham didn't want to give up that boy. But what Abraham couldn't see on the other side of that mountain, I believe there's a ram going up about the same speed. I believe every time. I believe every time Abraham took a step, the ram took a step. Every time Abraham took a step, the ram took a step. And then just when he drew back that knife on the other side, over there in that thicket, there's a ram. God's always been right on time.
Amen, brother. That's right. Amen.
Martha and Mary. Lazarus got sick, and they sent word to Jesus. They said, Jesus, Lazarus is sick, and they'd seen him heal many people. So I'm sure those disciples said, man, we better get going. We ought to hurry up and get there. If we hurry up and get there, maybe he can heal him. Jesus delayed. Because I reckon when you're the resurrection in the life, you don't have to be in a big hurry.
Right. Amen.
Jesus delayed. And finally, in that day in the Bible, they had professional mourners. They'd get people to come when somebody died, and those people might not even know who the person was that died, but they'd all get around the grave and they'd all weep and mourn. Yeah. And they were all by the grave of Lazarus. You remember the sisters as they run out and tell Jesus, Lazarus is dead, and Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. And they're out there crying and they're weeping. Jesus said, where you laid him? Well, God, you don't understand. He's been dead 4 days. Well, where you laid him? Jesus walks over to the grave.
Yes, glory to God, yes, Jesus.
Shed a few tears.
Amen.
Sympathized with us. Understood what it was like. Then he said, roll away the stone. Now, God, wait a minute. 4 days, man, he's bound to be stinking. 4 days, I'm telling you, it's got to be a mess. That guy, he's dead. If you'd have got here, roll away the stone. Lazarus can't get out, but Jesus sure can go in. And outside of that grave, Jesus raises his voice and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Boy, it's a good thing he said Lazarus. Because if he hadn't said Lazarus, they'd had a mess in that graveyard. The Bible says that Lazarus come out of that grave, still had the grave clothes wrapped around him. He's all bound up, and he's coming out of the grave, and he's out. I can see the faces of everybody and say, hey, what kind of man is this that can stand by a grave and call the dead out, and they get up and come out? Then he said, loose him and let him go. And by the way, just a little preaching material here. He said, loose him and let him go to them bunch of preachers, because we ought to be preaching the grave clothes off of folks.
Right.
Amen. He said, loose him and let him go. He said, Brother Hazel, what are you saying? Some of you got a papa's body laying somewhere in a grave. Mama's body's laying over there. Some of you got a boy or you got a girl laying over there in some grave somewhere bodily. I know they're saved, they're with the Lord, but that old body's decayed, and that old body's there that went back to the dust. But friend, it ain't going to be long. The King of Glory's not going to send some, hallelujah, he's not going to send somebody else. He's not going to send some angel. But the Bible said the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Friend, I'm glad he's coming back. I'm glad he's coming back. He came to me in the temple. I couldn't go to where he was. But he came to me and I got saved. He came to me in the tempest. But when the waves were at their biggest, he walked on the waves.
Amen, brother.
And he said, peace be still.
Yes.
He came to me in the tomb.
Amen.
Oh, friend. Listen, I really would like to go up by the clouds. than the clods. I would. And don't lie to me, because we spend all kind of money trying not to die. We were up in Pigeon Forge in this big youth conference, and man, I'm 39 years old now. I'm a little older than I used to be. And they had this thing called a lock-in. It starts at 12 o'clock, goes to 4 in the morning. Well, you know, I'm up there with a bunch of my teenagers, and they ain't going to do nothing that I can't do. And so I said, well, I'm going over there. And so I got in this basketball game. 18, 19-year-old boys running around me. And finally, I realized something. No, Brother Ledbetter, he's a fairly young guy. Brother Jeff was keeping up with him pretty good. But number one, I'm 39. Number two, I'm fat. And, you know, I'm running around, you know. Finally, I was guarding this one boy. I said, son, slow down.
Amen, brother.
And finally, one of the ladies in our church was sitting over there. I walked by her. I said, should I be concerned if my left arm's hurting, my chest is hurting, I can't breathe and I'm sweating? She said, are you serious, preacher? I said, no, but I feel like it could happen any moment. Amen? Huh? But I'm going to tell you something, friend. The grave is not scary to a child of God, because he's coming to get us. Matter of fact, be absent from the body is present with the Lord. But yet, friend, I'm looking forward to that resurrection day.
Amen.
I want to close with this little thought. Have you ever thought in your life what you would like to be doing when the Lord came?
Praise and
I can tell you what you better not be doing, setting a Charlotte at the race.
Right.
All God's men said. I'd hate to be on the golf course. We got a fellow in our church loves to fish. He loves this like professional bass deal, loves to fish. I told him, I said, you better not never go fishing on Sunday. He said, well, I ain't preaching. I said, well, you better not. I said, because I believe God will let you catch the biggest one you've ever caught and not be able to tell anybody. But I've always thought, what would I like to be doing when the Lord came? Of all the things, preaching? Nope. Nope. Praying? Nope. So, preacher, you wouldn't want to be preaching. No, I wouldn't want to be preaching when the Lord came. I'd want to be doing a graveside service of a Christian. I like to be doing the graveside service of some saint of God that's loved Jesus.
Yeah.
And I like to be standing by the casket getting ready to read my little 1 Corinthians 15 deal.
Amen.
And I'd like to be able to say, and a little family, I can see a little family wiping tears and they're weeping. Whoop! I like it. And I'd like to be able to be reading that. And all of a sudden, the trumpet of God sound, I can say, never mind. Amen. Wouldn't that be good? Hallelujah. Friend, I'm glad it's real. Hallelujah. I'm glad it's real. I'm glad one day the King of Glory is going to step out and carry us home. He's coming to get me. I probably shared this, but I'll never forget. A little lady, 96, 97 years old, I used to visit years ago. Name was Bessie Hall. I used to visit her years ago. I'd come in her house. She's feeble, loved God. And I'd come see her every week. She didn't go to our church, family did. I'd come see her, and she'd always be sitting in a little recliner they got her that would lift her up, you know, so she could get out. I come to see her one day. When I come to see her, she was sitting still, and I'd always just come in the door. And I mean, I spoke to her 4 or 5 times. I couldn't get her attention. She didn't turn, didn't look. So, you know, 96 years old, honestly, I mean, my voice is loud. And I figured she'd have heard me. Honestly, I thought that she'd went on to heaven. I really did. And I said, Miss Bessie, she didn't move. So finally, I evidently got over in her peripheral vision, and she caught a sight of me. She turned and looked at me. And I said, Miss Bessie, what in the world are you doing? I've shared this with some of you folk in meetings in your area. And Miss Bessie loved God, but Miss Bessie had one thing that wasn't going to get out of her life. She dipped snuff. I don't
believe that God himself could have walked down, sat down with Sister Bessie and talked her out of dipping snuff. Every time I'd go see her, y'all remember this, every time I'd go see her, she'd have snuff run out of the corner of her mouth, and she'd always kiss me on the cheek. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all remember that. And anyway, I went to see Miss Bessie. She'd always talk to me. I'd say, "Miss Bessie, how you doing?" She said, "I'm doing good, Brother Kiss. How you doing?" You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You probably been dipping it over there or something. You know what I'm talking about? But anyway, watch this now. And Miss Bessie and I, she'd do that. I'd say, "Miss Bessie, what are you doing?" She said, "Brother Kiss, I'm looking through them bushes." I said, "What?" "I'm looking through the bushes." I said, "Miss Bessie, what do you mean you're looking through the bushes?" She said, "I'm 96 years old. I'm getting ready to leave here." And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I understand. She's feeble." I said, "Why are you looking through the bushes?" Here's what she told me. She said, "I figure about any time now, Jesus gonna come busting through them bushes and get me." I'm not exaggerating. You're going to think I'm kidding you. For the next 20 minutes of that visit, we both sat there, dip snap, and looked through the bushes. Okay, I'm kidding about my part of dipping snap. But I thought it'd get some of his attention. You know what she was saying? She said, "He's coming to get me."
Amen, brother. That's right.
I'm glad he came to me tonight, aren't you?
Amen. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
You've been so good to preach to. I appreciate the wonderful liberty. Thank you for your help. I'm not here to impress anybody. Look, I love people in this area. This is one of the sweetest areas to me. God put me in evangelism for 2 years, High Point, North Carolina churches, to help me tremendously. I appreciate being able to come back to this camp meeting this year. I mean that. You pray for us as God sends us across this country,
amen,
trying to help young people.
Yes,
that God somehow would let us touch their hearts.
Amen.
But don't you listen to me now. If you're in this building tonight and you're not saved,
amen,
he'll come to you.
Yes, he will.
If you're in this building tonight and you're going through a storm, he'll come to you.
Amen.
And if you're in this building tonight and you've had to bury a loved one or somebody you love, and the devil gets on your back about it, you get on your face and say, "God, I know one day we'll have a reunion and walk with streets of gold together again." Because, friend, that's the hope we have that this world doesn't have. Father, I thank you tonight for the word of God. Thank you for the privilege of preaching. God, I thank you for this good, good service tonight. Lord, I'm not even worthy to be able to stand in this pulpit. God, I thank you for the men of God that have graced this pulpit with their presence.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, God, for the testimony of this camp for years.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank you, God, for our dear brother doing a wonderful job moderating and the good singing. And Lord, just for this young preacher to be able to stand here and preach is an honor for me. Thank you for the men of God tonight that have been so kind to me in this area.
Thank you.
And God, may somehow this week I be a help to them and a blessing to them. Now, God, you have your way during this invitation.
Yes.
You put on your moderator's heart the need, and God will give you the glory.
Yes,
in Jesus' name, yes, we do pray. Won't you stand to your feet tonight? If we could get someone to come to the piano, brother, you come if you would. Maybe you just need to come down here tonight and let Jesus meet you right here at the altar. Folks, don't ever get tired of going down to an old-fashioned altar. I want to tell you something. One of the things that blessed my heart, we was with those teenagers up under that old-fashioned tent in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. As soon as the last verse of the message was, or the last sermon note was said, and the last thing was done, and the invitation started, those kids would begin to come and weep on those altars. Mom and Dad, what's going to change our countries? These altars. What's going to change our homes is these altars. But maybe tonight you need to come and talk to Jesus. He'll meet you here. He'll meet you.